everyone that in the realm of nonprofits and what people are doing to make the world a better place, both locally and globally. If you want to tune into us live, we're on Facebook Live today. You can find us at Happy Hunterdon or look up Happy to Help. And today we have with us two executives from the Center for Great Expectations, and you can find that at cge-nj.org. Today we're talking with Veronica Finley, who is the Director of Major Gifts, and Pam DeLuca, who is the Director of Development. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Great. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the how the Center for Great Expectations began, or you're looking at a 20-year anniversary, and you've come a long way and changed a lot and done a lot of things. So can you give us an overview of what the Center for Great Expectations does and how it started?
Sure thing. Thanks, Nicole. Again, we really appreciate the opportunity. Center for Great Expectations is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. We started in a two-bedroom house in Somerville, only able to help about 12 women a year through their pregnancy. Unfortunately, they could not join us after birth. And Peg Wright, who is the founder and president CEO of the Center for Great Expectations, realized quite quickly that there was a need to have a long-term residential facility so that the women could not only be there and get help during pregnancy, but receive help and support after pregnancy as well. And so in 2003, she began to realize her vision by finding property in Somerset, New Jersey. And by 2008, she was able to raise $4.2 million and create two residential facilities on our three-acre campus, one for young women ages 13 to 21 and one for adult women ages 21 to and up. They can stay anywhere from 6 months to 2 years in these facilities and receive help mainly for mental health and or their substance use disorders. Their children, during pregnancy, they're taken care of. They're learning about bonding with their children. After pregnancy, they continue to learn about bonding with their children, caring for their children, as well as creating a long road and a path to recovery.
Yeah, that's great. I love the saying, a safe place, a safe presence, and a safe path. I love that motto that I read on the website. So that's a great. So what prompted Peg to start this? I always love the story behind the organization. Do you know a little bit about what prompted her to fill this need in the community?
So the house was there on a church property for a few years before Peg got involved. She was a volunteer. She was a corporate salesperson, medical devices, and she really she knew she wanted to give back to the community, and so she was drawn there. She worked very closely with Sister Rita Wolke, who is a co-founder, and in fact the author of our Safe Place, Safe Presence, Safe Path mission statement. And what did we know back in 1998? But that is a very trauma-informed mission statement, and that's really the model of treatment that we use today to really address trauma that may have occurred in these young women's lives and how to help them understand how that affects them and how to move through that and beyond that and to help them understand how to reduce triggers that may bring that trauma back into their lives in the future.
Yeah, is Somerset, is there a lot of trauma there? I mean, everyone always thinks of Newark or Trenton. Is Somerset right in there with those, or it's close, right?
So it's interesting. We don't actually help just women from Somerset. We help women from all 21 counties of New Jersey, including right here in Hunterdon.
Good to know.
So we have referrals from every county, and we'll talk a little bit later about a new program that we started that really is focused on Hunterdon County and the opioid crisis.
Okay.
But we don't just help Somerset. And trauma is not is maybe more than what we think of in terms of violence that we hear about in Newark or Trenton or Camden. It goes a lot deeper than that.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because almost every week someone brings up the opioid crisis. I mean, it's pervasive everywhere. And then I always bring up, I'm reading the book Dreamland, which I'm still trying to get through because I haven't read about four books at a time. But so Dreamland by Sam Kanonis talks about the whole history of the whole thing. But now everyone, Chris Daggett talked about it too. Like they do arts and education, but then the opioid epidemic ended up popping up in their realm too. So it's great that you're addressing that. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Veronica, can you tell us a little bit about the overall program structure at Great Expectations?
Certainly. Excuse me. The residential treatment facilities that we have, one is an adult house for the women, the older women, and the other is the adolescent house. Now, residential treatment is the highest form of treatment that you can receive when you have a substance use disorder. The individuals who live in our homes, they have required to do chores, and they have every day a schedule that they need to meet. They need to get up at a certain time. So it's very, very regimented for them, which is very good for them, mm-hmm. and helps them to learn some skills and some planning and those sorts of skills that will help them going forward.
Life skills.
Life skills are so important yep. for these women. Unfortunately, for many of them, they've never had that structure in their lives until they came to us. So those are very important life lessons for them. From a residential treatment facility, they then have the opportunity to go into one of our apartments. And we do have 27 apartments in the area surrounding in Middlesex and Somerset and in the area where they can go then to live, to continue to get better, to continue to build a strong foundation underneath them so that they can then go out and pursue a life free of their substance use or overcoming a trauma that has impacted their lives with their children and build a home for their children then in mm-hmm. these apartments. We are still in touch with them. We call it our supportive housing program. So we provide case management for them. Some of them, they're starting their lives over again, so sometimes there's a food need. There's a transportation need. They have questions about medical coverage, that sort of thing. We are in constant contact with them, and we continue to be a resource for them. While they're there, they can go to our treatment facility, our outpatient clinic in New Brunswick, where they can continue to receive the treatment they need for their substance use disorder. And that's very important. They keep in touch with us. So the longer we can maintain that relationship, the hope is the more likely they are to succeed and overcome their challenges. Mm-hmm. And that's our ultimate goal.
Right. Break the cycle, right?
Oh, without a doubt. And then they also continue to receive parent-infant mental health, which again is so important because mm-hmm. they've never had a parental role model mm-hmm. in many cases. So they need to learn how to care for a baby, how to nurture a baby. Those skills aren't innate. They need to be taught. And they need a role model. And so we do that through our parent-infant mental health, which is extremely important. And all of our services are trauma-informed. So if you're a substance user, there's a reason why you started using. What was it? What mm-hmm. trauma happened in your life? And as Pam said, it may not be a physical trauma. It could be an emotional mm-hmm. abuse. Long-term emotional abuse has tremendous impact on an individual. So we, when they arrive with us, they get a psychological evaluation, and we begin immediately to help them address that trauma. And the trauma-informed care is extremely helpful in helping them to overcome their challenges.
That's incredible. It's one-stop shopping for everything, right? Like a care group of caregivers and providers and people that help them work the system, right?
To get out,
yeah, yeah, which is good.
And what's necessary. Another resource that we have is we have a state-certified child development center on site at our residential treatment facilities. Because during the day when the women are receiving their treatment or when the adolescents head off to school, what do you do with all those babies? Our it's called Katie's Place.
Katie's Place
is a special place. If you come to our location and take a tour, which, you know, the public is invited to do that, Katie's Place is so special. It's such a loving, caring environment, and it gives those kids a really good start and gives the moms the opportunity to take time to heal themselves so that they're ready for their next steps.
Right, and Katie, was she a volunteer? It's named after Katie somebody. I don't know, right?
The center? Katie is the daughter of one of our strong supporters, the Deichmans, and Katie unfortunately passed due to cancer when she was about 23.
Wow.
And it's named in Katie's honor by her family, who are tremendous supporters of the center.
Oh, that's great. I just love hearing the stories, the people behind the stories and the work and everything you do. So that's interesting. Well, there's another person named on your website, the hockey player, Mr. Devil. He runs your golf outing.
Yes, Danico.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed on the website too, so my kids play hockey up at Twin Oaks, and Randy, mm-hmm. those two are hanging out together. So I thought that was great. You have a golf outing, you have all kinds of outings throughout the year that yes. you do every year, which is great. To support. So, and you mentioned a tour. So I know you've got a tour coming up in October, right? An open house tour?
We do. It's an information reception. And it is October 9th at 5:30 p.m. It's open to the public. And it allows people to come in, learn more about what we do and our services. And once you see our facility, you'll understand better how extensive our services are. And I'm going to allow Pam to just address the START program, which is a new program we've recently started. But to go back to the information reception, October 9th, 5:30 p.m., if someone's interested in attending, if they could give us a call just to let us know they'll be there. That way we have ample refreshments. They can call 732-247-7003, extension 336, and just let us know you'll be attending and join us and learn more about what we do.
Great. So do you want, Pam, do you want to address the START program for us?
Sure. I'm going to step back a little bit and just do a shout out to Ken Danico and all of his support to our golf outing. He's been with us for 14 years. The Devils have been a great supporter. We honored them at our gala a couple of years ago as one of our Humanitarian of the Year winners, and we were very thrilled to have them present there. And so Ken's just been a terrific supporter of the organization and helping us really bring our golf outing up to new levels every year. So thank you, Ken.
Good.
The START program is a new program that's funded through the Department of Health in New Jersey, and we received that funding last December. And what it is it's an in-home treatment model. So it takes what we do in the residential treatment facility, in our supportive housing, and kind of combines it, offering women who are dealing with opioid use disorder, who are pregnant or who are new moms, resources that come to them. So they don't have to. So what we found is that families being together, in fact, it's modeled after a Yale program that's now 10 years old called family-based recovery. And so what we know is that if moms can be with their children, which is one reason why we opened the residential facilities in 2008, they have a better chance of recovery. Mm-hmm. Their children have a better chance of bonding with them, mm-hmm. and the family has a better chance of moving forward and continuing mm-hmm. on a path of long-term recovery. So the START program is based in Somerville and addresses Hunterdon, Middlesex, and Somerset counties and provides, as I said, in-home addiction counseling, parent-infant mental health counseling, which Veronica explained a little bit earlier, as well as case management. So the case management piece is really a big component of supportive housing and something that we realize people need to help them navigate Medicaid, navigate the resources they have in terms of transportation or job training, mm-hmm. Et cetera.
Yeah, so how are people referred, or do you have a waiting list, or how do people find you and get housing and adolescents or whoever, or people that struggle with addiction, how are they funneled into your organization?
Couple of different ways.
Okay.
We have a lot of self-referral, so they call the main number, 732-247-7003, and somebody there will take their call and spend some time with them on the phone, and if there's a place for them in our organization, we will find that place. If it's something that we think has to be referred out, we'll help them with a referral to an organization that might be better for them at the time. We have a waiting list for our residential facilities. Veronica mentioned the outpatient facility. That is men and women mm-hmm. In New Brunswick. And so we expanded to men in 2015, which was changing the dynamics of who we serve a little bit. And the START program itself, because it's off-site, it is the woman that you would contact is Carolyn Flynn. And she is our program manager. And she can be reached at C. Flynn. I'm trying to find it on my cell phone. I apologize. C. Flynn at cge-nj.org is her email, or her phone number is 732-434-8577. And that, again, is Carolyn Flynn, who's a program manager for START. Mm-hmm. We also receive a lot of referrals through DCPMP and family court many times will require some of the moms to come to see us mm-hmm. For treatment.
Okay.
Just say, if I could expand on that for just a moment. The program, the STAR program that Pam is referring to, if there's someone who's listening who is suffering because of an opioid addiction and they need help, they can call Carolyn and talk to her. And we could provide services in your home to help you. So I'm hoping if there's someone who's listening who may have an issue or know someone who may have an issue, please give us a call. We're here to help, and we want to help you, and we can help you.
Right, and you've got an excellent track record, and we're going to learn more about everything that you do and have done in a minute after we take a quick break.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. You're listening to Happy to Help with Nicole Smith, and our guests today are two development directors with the Center for Great Expectations, and you can find their website at cge-nj.org, and we're on Facebook Live today. You can find us at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help, and we're talking with Veronica Finley and Pam DeLuca. We're happy to have them here to tell us all about all the great things the Center for Great Expectations is doing, including in Hunterdon County. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you went from helping 12 women in 1998, and here we are 20 years later, and you're helping 600 annually, something like that? Or can you break that number down and tell us who you're helping in that group?
Sure. So as Nicole mentioned, we were working with around 12 women a year at the home in Somerville. And once we moved into our residential facilities in Somerset, we were able to increase that number to nearly about 50 people a year. And since then, with the expansion of outpatient services and our START program and supportive housing, we are now reaching nearly 600 men, women, children every year. That includes about 325 individuals at our outpatient center in New Brunswick, and 75 individuals, the moms and their children and extended family, at our supportive housing program. Our START program, when it's up and running, will reach close to 30 to 35 women a year, mm-hmm. And that's not including the children that they're going to also be working with. And our residential facilities work with anywhere from 30 to 40 women and adolescents a year. It depends on turnover and how successful they are in the program and when they're ready to complete the program and move on. The women typically stay 6 to 9 months, and the adolescents can stay anywhere from 6 months to 12, 12 months, 18 months. So the turnover is not quite as rapid in those two programs as it is in outpatient.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you were, for all these people that you help, there's quite a bit of funding required to keep this stuff going. So, and that's what you two do. You keep the engine running and the people working with what they do and how they help. And do you get most of your funding from grants or major donors? Can you break down a little bit about where the funding comes from for your operations?
Sure. So this, in 2018, our budget is $6.7 million. About 65% of that comes from grants and fee-for-service from the federal government or the state government. We raise 35% in other ways, typically through grant writing, events, major donors, annual appeals, the traditional philanthropic efforts to raise money for a nonprofit. And that's where Veronica comes in as our director of major gifts, and she also kind of manages the sponsorship levels and things for our special events. So it's really an important component to the whole.
Right. So we talked about the golf outing, which is in the summer typically, right?
Yes, it is.
And then you've got your big 20th anniversary Gala of Hope coming up.
Yes, and we're very, very excited about it. It's October 5th at the Hyatt Regency in New Brunswick. It is going to be a very special evening. Again, we're celebrating 20 years, and we expect at least 300 people there to join us in the celebration. People who started with us in that little house in Somerville, and people who have been supporting us just recently. That includes volunteers, people who have been volunteering with us, people who have given us monetary support, and people who also give in-kind support. All of these people are so important to our success, and they're going to all come together at the gala to celebrate. So if someone's interested in joining us at this special event, there are sponsorship opportunities. There are opportunities to put ads in our journal. They can reach out to Allison at 732-247-7003, and she's extension 336. And I invite everyone to come join us and celebrate with us. It is a black tie event, and it's going to be really special. We have a great band coming in. There's dancing. There's live auctions, silent auctions, lots of great things to do.
Right, and you're going to be honoring quite a few people. Isn't she honoring 20 people from the past or in the fold? Like, so that'll be pretty special, right?
It is. We'll be honoring Sister Rita is our humanitarian of the year, and she started with Peg from the beginning. Tom Berkman will also be honored. He is our outstanding citizen of the year. He works very closely with our supportive housing, the women in supportive housing. And the third person is Carolyn Sullivan. Carolyn is a board member, but she is also one of our the gala committee chairman, and she's been doing it for years, and she is our volunteer of the year. So, and in addition to that, Peg has 20 special people who have made these 20 years possible, and she'll be recognizing them as well.
That'll be pretty cool. Sounds like a fun event, and we touched on your volunteer of the year and what she's been doing, so maybe this is a good time to go into what are the different volunteer opportunities if people want to help the Center for Great Expectations. I like handyman because people don't often think about that. If you're my husband's very handy, and I'm so grateful. I call it the bonus package in the marriage because he can fix anything in the house.
That's a bonus.
Right. So especially with the facility you have, you probably have things breaking all the time, and it's probably minor. But you know, if someone's a handyman, they could just bring their tool belt and show up, right?
Mm-hmm. In fact, today we have two companies with us today who are going to be working on a couple of different projects, including weeding and mulching our flower gardens. Because, again, those are things that help make our facilities feel more like a home versus an institution. And it's really important to keep them, you know, up to snuff in terms of quality and helping them weed. I will have to do a shout out though to Veronica and our COO Tim Cummings, who have been doing weeding Wednesdays.
I love
that. The
hottest
parts of the summer,
they get
out there and have been picking out the grass and the weeds out of our gardens to help keep them looking spiffy. So thank you, Veronica and Tim.
Just trying to keep it looking good, and we had the time to do it.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And it depends on who you are, but I know my parents, we never were required to work in the lawn when we were little because they loved doing it and they wanted to keep it all to themselves. I mean, it was their way of letting go and letting off steam. And my husband's the same way, doing the lawn or fixing stuff. That's like his outlet. He calls him his psychologist, the rake and the mower and all that. I mean,
like
seriously.
Therapy.
Yeah, it is totally like therapy. So,
it's interesting you say that because we actually, just to digress from the volunteer opportunities for a second, some of the things that we do, especially with our adult women, is some alternative therapy programs to help them find ways to, take life out of their mind for a little while and kind of veg out is how we would say it sometimes. So we do horticultural therapy with a vegetable and fruit garden. We do art therapy. We offer yoga. So you're right. So some of our volunteers come to help themselves kind of get out of the world for a little while, and we use a lot of that with our women as well.
No, and that's important. And just put the phone down, turn everything off. And I took a tour of the facility. I donated a bunch of my kids' clothes there, and I think there's a bench that a Girl Scout did for a Gold Award or something, which is great. I love Scouts too, and they're always doing kind of projects like this that make just an area of comfort and a bench and some flowers, and so you have that too, right?
Yeah, we just had a Girl Scout come in, and on one of our sheds that faces where the daycare center is, she painted a beautiful mural that's perfect for the kids on the shed and brightened that up for us. So we have the opportunities for group volunteers, corporate, small business, or service organizations to come in, but we also have opportunities for individuals as well. So you mentioned handyman. We need people who, we have some gentlemen who pick up from the food bank for us. We have volunteers who come in and sort donated clothing and get them in the proper places. We also have an opportunity for those who love babies. We need people to just hold and rock the babies in our daycare center. That's a big help to us, so that every baby gets that individual attention. It's well staffed, don't get us wrong, but, just all the time is really nice to be able to feel that nurturing with the babies. So there are an array of volunteer opportunities for individuals and organizations. We also need help with our gala. We have a committee that works on that event. We're starting a new event, which we're very excited about, in the spring. It's going to be the Thursday before Mother's Day, May 9th. And it's going to be a luncheon type of event for women to introduce what we do and to celebrate moms.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because we help all these moms.
Yeah.
So we want to celebrate the moms, and we're creating this new event. So if anyone out there wants to be part of helping us to create this event, it's a clean slate right now as to what this is going to be. So we could use some really creative ideas and people who are interested in coming in to help us out. Again, they can call the phone number 732-247-7003, extension 336, and let us know what you want to do if you want to come help us out with that event.
Yeah, and what's the age limit for babysitting? Do they have to be 12, or is there any? No, it doesn't matter. Well, it's supervised, right?
So it's always supervised. So what we have is you have to be 18 to be able to volunteer. We do background checks with our regular volunteers.
Okay.
It's almost similar to being employed with us.
Yeah.
We do offer opportunities for older kids in high school if they come with adult supervision to do kind of group babysitting or group watching, especially on the weekends. We have a church group very interested right now in serving Sunday a month for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to let the moms have a little time to themselves on a weekend that's not dedicated to their recovery process, but dedicated to themselves.
Yeah, veg time.
Right, yeah. So they go out and get their nails done. Yeah. They go out to brunch, whatever the case might be. So we love those younger kids coming in, but they do have to have direct supervision. And a lot of our younger kids do things in their school systems.
Right.
So it's great. We have a number of Catholic schools especially that work really hard with us and very closely with us over the years. And some of those Catholic schools, they do diaper drives, or what our newest adventure, which helps us raise money and is kind of fun, is a baby bottle brigade, where they take baby bottles home and simply fill them up with loose change for a week or two and bring them back.
Yeah.
And they have a little fun. They see the baby bottle fill up with pennies, nickels, dimes.
Yeah.
The churches collect them all. We have a couple churches that do us the great favor of counting everything before they come to us.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to do a little fundraising, get the kids involved. They have some fun. So, like I said, diaper drives, food drives, all kinds of different things that kids can get involved with that may not necessarily mean being at the center, but could be extremely helpful to us.
Yeah, and that's true with the holidays coming up, too. We do a holiday drive. So that's another way that families, individuals, businesses, they can all be involved with us. And the Baby Bottle Brigade can be done by anyone,
right,
really, in your office. Hey, for a month, let's put this baby bottle in the middle of the lunchroom table, and let's see what we could do to help the center, that kind of thing. It's really very simple, very straightforward.
Yeah, because everybody's always got loose change, and you just fill it up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much it accumulates.
I'm sure.
And what a tremendous help that is to us and to the individuals we serve.
Yeah, and I would encourage people with their parent to take their teen or their tween to go work in the daycare, because I just feel like it's so important for parents and kids to do things together, not just drop off at
yes.
the sports event or at school or whatever, and you get to volunteer together. Because I always say I was raised in a family that valued volunteering, and we did volunteering together, and then that has evolved into me teaching my kids about that. So it's a family activity. And after college, I used to go to the hospital and hold babies in the NICU every Saturday. It was so fun. But,
and it's so rewarding,
yeah,
too. It really
yeah.
is. When you get involved like that with an organization and you see the need, it's like, wow, I'm really making a difference here, which is really inspiring.
Yeah, and it's a community. It's your family
yes.
and a community and other members of the community that you wouldn't run into when you're at school or on the soccer field or whatever. So.
And if you have a special skill, the women love to learn new things, again, thinking around the ideas of alternative therapy. So I've actually had the opportunity to teach them how to crochet, for instance. And it's part of their group time together. And it just allows them to find another way to relax and to get out of their own head and to create something that's beautiful. I mean, and they've really taken it on and gotten books out of the library and learned new patterns mm-hmm. and created scarves and hats and baby bibs and all kinds of things. So they really do love to find something that they can get passionate about. Right now, what we're doing in group is we're actually making bracelets. One of the women really is very creative and started doing creating these bracelets. She loves to just use her hands and, as I said, kind of just concentrate on something that's not her what's going on in her own life during a time. And the other women really love the idea of it. So we created a little social enterprise with this, and the women, we got a donor to donate all the beads that we could want and all the materials. And we spend about an hour once a week working on the bracelets together in group, looking at everybody's designs mm-hmm. and coming up with, you know, great ideas. And we're going to be selling them at the gala, actually, as another fundraiser. And the women are all going to get a portion of the proceeds in their own pocket. Because
nice.
And we're teaching them a little bit about entrepreneur and business and the cost of doing business mm-hmm. along the way. So, again, they'll have a skill to go out with after they leave us. So it's really exciting. So if you like to decorate cakes and would like to teach them how to do that, they would all love that. If you like to knit, they've been asking for knitting lessons for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And I'm a very junior knitter, so I cannot teach them that. But if you'd like to do that, that's great. If you have another special skill you'd like to share with them, give us a call. And 732-247-7003. We'll give you Allison's extension for this as well, 336. And let us know if you want to share one of your gifts with our residents. It would be terrific.
And that would be true with Katie's place and the children there, arts and crafts. Do an arts and crafts project with the kids at Katie's place. That's really special, too. So there are a lot of options. Are you musically talented? Could you go in with a guitar and sing with the kids?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the options are endless, really.
There's so much. Tutoring, you do some tutoring. Do they have to come with a parent if they do tutoring, or how does the tutoring thing work? That's with the moms, though, right? Kind of? Or
that's with the adolescents, and okay. That program is probably under construction again.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, in the past, we've been able to do that, but depends on the age of the adolescents we have currently and what their needs are. Mm-hmm. So, again, if you have any questions or you have any interest in learning more about what volunteer opportunities might be there and how your special skills or what you would like to do would fit, give us a call and we'll help you figure that out.
Well, and that's why I tell people, volunteering is sometimes just a navigation process. You have to find an organization you think you might like, get to know the people there, get to know what's offered, see if it's a good fit for what you want to do and what they need. And, I mean, there's just an endless abundance of opportunities. And so I think that's great. And the bracelet thing, I had an idea. I'm always trying to marriage it with high schoolers and what they can do. But they could, if the women make the bracelets, the girls could also make the bracelets. And they could sell them at lunch table at school or something and get your word out that way. Because I think the high schoolers and the clubs, they always are looking for something to sell. And kids love jewelry. And it's, you know, so that would be a fun thing, I think.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
they'll be having to produce a lot of bracelets then.
Yeah, but the girls. I mean, the kids in high school could also, you could have a workshop with both and they get the interaction and then they take that out and then they're more compelling with, they're not just selling some random bracelet that they got from some center. They were there. Yeah. And you know, oh yeah, I work, you know, Tina made this bracelet and I worked with her and she's got the best designs or, you know, whatever they can. It's just building community.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's the volunteering portion of it. You've got all kinds of opportunities there. Like you said, doing a needs list, look on the website for what you need right now and creating collections around that. What else? Oh, so the other one I read about was Roots to Recovery. Have we talked about that yet?
That's the outpatient.
That's
the name of the outpatient center. We rebranded that in 2017 and had a great big open house. So that was exciting to be able to actually have a name for it rather than just the generic outpatient center.
No, that's great. And then can you educate us about trauma? Because you said that's the basis of your whole organization and the trauma care model. And so educate us about how trauma is defined in your realm. And I know that I saw a lot of acronyms there, a lot of technical acronyms, which is great. But I mean, every industry has their own acronyms, but in layman's terms.
I think that one of the best ways to, I think that there needs to be a clinical person here to accurately define trauma.
Okay. Well, now we won't hold you to it.
I would refer them to the website, though.
Okay.
That information on our website. Trauma, it's so overarching. There are so many, everyone has a different trauma in their life.
Yeah.
What happened to me probably didn't happen to this person. It could be a combination of issues. It could be domestic abuse along with emotional abuse, along with sexual assault. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Every case is different. But
it covers, I mean, the trauma care model just wants to, you said you meet with a counselor right away to start digging through where it came from and then start healing from that, right?
Right, and helping them to understand and identify what that trauma is. Because if they can understand it, understand their triggers, then, you know, they can help to avoid those triggers long term and understand where they are and how they can make themselves feel better. That it's not me. You know, I am not the terrible person that I was made out to be for so many years. I'm a good person, and I have value. And to understand that really, really matters. So
I think the key component of our model is that it's not just an interaction between the counselors and the clients, but it is the culture of who we are. We call it the trauma care model, which has to do with the culture, meaning how we welcome people into our center, into the outpatient center, how we approach them, interact with them, how we respond to them, and how we build relationship with them. People who can succeed in long-term recovery often talk about the relationships they have in their support network to help them through when something gets triggered, who they can turn to. And then finally, the empowerment piece. So the end part of our mission talks about providing that safe place, safe presence, and safe path to empower our clients to help make good decisions for them and their families going forward. And that's really the key, to turn it back over to them so that they know that they are in a place that they can make good decisions for themselves and their family moving forward.
If I can interject, I had one of our former clients stop in my office to tell me her story. And I had asked her to do this. And she came to me and she said, you know, Veronica, when I first came to CGE, which is how we, what we call ourselves internally, she said, I had lost custody of my two daughters. Mm. I was pregnant with my son and I was struggling. She came to us after having gone to other treatment facilities. And she said, I got here and I didn't like it because you made me prepare meals once a right. day. I had to get up by a certain time. You had all these things that you were holding me accountable, and I didn't like it. And she said, I was tempted to leave, but I went up into my room, and in our residential treatment facilities, every client or resident has their own room with their own bathroom. So they're self-contained. Wow. They're beautiful. And there's space for a crib or a bed, whatever's necessary for their child. She said, I went up into my room, and I sat there. And I said, she said to herself, I've got to do this. I have got to try and make this work, because if I don't, I'm going to lose custody of my son and I'll never have a relationship with my daughters. Mm-hmm. So she said she buckled down and she said, CGE gave me the tools I needed to build a strong foundation. She said, but you also gave me the tools to build my house. And she said, I built a strong, beautiful house. And she went on to, she now manages three, she went into our supportive housing, we stayed with her. Mm-hmm. She now manages three restaurants.
Wow.
She has regained custody of both of her daughters, aww, has a tremendous relationship with her son who is thriving, and her life is just so uplifting, and her story is so uplifting. When she was finished, I was in tears, and I said, you are an inspiration to me because of what you did for yourself and your family. And now she has a beautiful family and a beautiful life. So
that's testimonial enough right there, right? I mean, you could talk about the numbers, we help this many people, this many, but it's just the story of each individual person and what, you know, what they've accomplished and what you've enabled them to do,
right? And each journey is different. They all take different paths, so it's inspiring.
Yeah, and I think you touched on it. Each person has to build their own toolkit to get through things when they get triggered and, okay, how do I deal with this? And you recognize it and then build upon that, and that's what you all provide is the toolkit for each person to move on.
To empower them to do what they need to do.
That's incredible. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 & Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 & Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. You're listening to Nicole Smith. This is Happy to Help, and you can see us on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. We're talking to the Center for Great Expectations. You can find them online at cge-nj.org. And we're talking with Pam and Veronica, both in the development area. And we're talking about their big gala coming up on October 5th. In New Brunswick, and it's celebrating 20 years of this incredible organization. So we've talked about where they started and how they've grown from helping 12 women to over 500 individuals with their center. And so now we want to kind of talk about what's the future look like for CGE.
So we're very, very excited about the future, to say the least. One of the things you can see as we are here today is that we've really look at each era as a place to take the next step to increase the availability of our services, not only in depth of service, but also in the breadth of service, where we're located. So the START program has gotten us up and running in Hunterdon County in a really concrete way, which we hadn't really been before. And our outpatient services, are reaching outside of the New Brunswick area. So our 20 years in the future continue to do that, see the opportunities. There's need for our services in areas like Newark and perhaps Trenton and Camden. So we're exploring different opportunities to work in partnership with somebody who's already there on the ground, who can kind of bring us into their fold because they see the value of the trauma-informed care model that we use in treating people in outpatient. There's always been a need in New Jersey and continues to be a need in New Jersey for supportive housing for women with children. Single men find housing, single women can find housing, but when you have a family, it's very difficult. And so we're looking to expand the number of supportive housing units that we can provide. And that's going to be beyond our current borders of Middlesex and Somerset County. As I said earlier, we reach 21 counties in New Jersey in one form or another. We have over 150 people calling into us every day, every year for our residential services. So we know there's a greater need for that as well. Mm-hmm. So I think in 20 years you will see the Center for Great Expectations name across the state in supportive housing structures, in expanded outpatient services, and even perhaps in expanded residential services outside of where we are in Somerset.
And our START program, if we could continue to grow that above and beyond where we are now. And another building, maybe.
Looking into Ocean County, for instance, to see where we can expand START. So it's a never end. It's not ending, unfortunately.
I know.
There's always a need.
Yep.
And while this opioid crisis is in the news so much today, it really has been going on for too many generations, too many decades. So the idea is that we think there's going to be a need, whether for mental health or for substance use disorders, a need for what we do.
Right, and I always tell people the kids talk about they don't want to volunteer because they're too busy, but with the rampant anxiety, depression, all kinds of horrible things going on with adolescents today, guess what volunteering helps? Volunteering helps with anxiety and depression and anger and everything else. So, get your kids out volunteering, get the youth out there. There's a bridge that can be made there that's a win-win-win. So find out if you can help in the daycare center or through a fundraiser at your school or through Girl Scouts or something.
Right. Collect diapers.
Yeah,
there's a constant need for diapers. We go through a lot of diapers and wipes, as you can imagine, between all the children in the houses and then the daycare center. That's one of our needs. And the other need that we have is for gift cards to Target, Walmart, to the grocery store, ShopRite, those sorts of things. For instance, we have a room that's filled with clothing that we provide to the women and the children, and we have bedding. We need bedding. We need towels. We need pillows. We provide them with everything when they're with us. So if an organization or even a family wants to do a drive for us and then contact us and bring all of that in, that would be extremely helpful. And getting back to the gift cards, for instance, if a mom comes to us and says, my son needs a size 5 sneaker. He just grew out of his sneaker. And we look in the bin, we have no size 5. So we give her a gift card so that she can go buy her son what she needs. Or if she comes to us, you know, my son's birthday is this week and I can't afford to give him a present. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a gift card. Let's go to Walmart. You can pick him up something special that you know he'll just love. So those are all different ways people can help us as well.
Right. What about books? Do you have libraries in there? Reading, I'm a reading freak. So, I mean, I think reading is the answer to every problem in the whole world. So do you have a library in there or books that you give the kids? Or I'm just curious.
Katie's Place has an extensive library. Okay. And so that's about 0 to 3 years old. So one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is when the women come to us, they are either pregnant and or parenting already. We are allowed and licensed to have the children with the mothers until age 5.
Okay.
So if they have older children, even if they are united, they may not be able to stay with us. They can visit, of course, and all those kind of things. But so our children, the age of our children in the program are 0 to 5. The daycare is 0 to 3 for the most part. Veronica mentioned diapers, and we have, I was just counting in my head, we have 15 children who are under 6 months of age right now.
Wow.
So if you're a parent, you will remember the volume of diapers just for one.
Wow.
Multiply that times 15 and you will understand why we say diaper drives are always necessary and why gift cards are so important, because we all recognize how fast children grow. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate it all.
Mm-hmm. And each mom is given a shower before she gives birth, so we make sure she has everything she needs. We celebrate birthdays. That's another thing. You know, we make a birthday basket for the mom or have something available for the child as well. We celebrate holidays with them. So it's constant. We want to make sure that we celebrate them and who they are and that they're happy.
Right, and I'm also always talking about how people don't always go to church regularly anymore. That used to be kind of the center hub for the community and the giving and the caring and knowing people. So I've observed that it seems like the nonprofits are the new community centers, whether it's bringing people together that need help, that want help, and that want to give help. And so we were talking before about how your organization has roots in the Catholic Church with the sister that is receiving the award this year. But now everything's expanding to go interfaith, so a nonprofit and also the interfaith community. So can you talk about what you might be doing there?
Certainly. We did start with a Diocese of Metuchen, but we now have our own 501c3, and we are no longer directly related to the Diocese of Metuchen. We don't receive any funding from them. So we do work with local churches, synagogues, mosques, and we are actually trying to build an interfaith community that comes together to support CGE. We have relationships
right.
that are all over, but we're going to actually do an open house and meet with that group and all come together to discuss how that group of individuals can support us and how they can make an impact on our mission, which then helps their individual communities as well. So we want to have that discussion with an interfaith community, and that's one of our objectives going forward, to expand that even further than what it is today.
Great. And if I can get personal just for a minute with you two, can you tell me why you came to CGE? What brought you to CGE and made you feel compelled to work for this organization? Because you're both talented. You could have gone to any number of nonprofits. Why CGE?
I've been in the nonprofit community for a very long time. But the mission at CGE is just so inspiring. Anytime you can have a direct impact on a life and know that you are helping to empower that individual and their children, you know, to a better life. So you are helping break a generational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That inspires me. And every day, our office is actually in the house with the women. And so I see them every day and how hard they work and how they really want to do this, and they really work hard, and they inspire me to keep going and doing what I'm doing. So I am thrilled to be there, because it's just an amazing mission, and you really can change lives.
You found your fit, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And how about you, Pam?
So I developed a personal mission several years ago to work with people who are homeless, hungry, and then as I matured, I really started to develop a need to work with empowering women in one form or another. So my path in 20-plus years in nonprofit world really led me to CGE. It's kind of an encapsulation of all of my personal missions. The women who come to us in residential services and those that we serve in outpatient typically are homeless or about to be homeless. Hunger is always an issue in this community. Housing is always an issue. And then to be able to, as Veronica said, going in every day and seeing the women and the adolescents and their babies and how the babies are growing and being able to interact with them and give them, you know, that comment or that just the feel that we're recognizing them, that we're recognizing the good they're doing. You see the smile in their eyes when you give them a compliment or when you say something about their child. And it's just it's a job that you wake up for and you never say, I got to go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's a job you wake up for and say, I'm ready. So it's mm-hmm. really great. And it makes it easy for us. We have great stories to tell. And the women really want to share their stories, and that's really helpful.
Right, and you've got someone special speaking at the gala too, right? One of the women you've helped.
She has a very special story. She started in our residential treatment facility. She then went to our supportive housing. She now works in our outpatient clinic.
Well, you bring the cycle just continues, right?
Cycle.
That's good. And she can relate because she's been there, right? So
yes.
She has more credibility than you do, right?
Right.
Probably.
So
yeah.
when she speaks at the gala, you'll hear her whole journey, and it is a true inspiration.
Right. And the gala is October 5th down in New Brunswick at the Hyatt Regency. And you can find information at cge-nj.org. And let's just take one quick moment to talk about Peg. She's the force that started this all. And
amazing.
I've seen her speak a couple times. She's a force, right?
Mm-hmm. No doubt
she
about
is a force.
It.
She has a vision that she created 20 years ago, and she has met every milestone, I think, that she thought of then. And she continues to be just so creative with building relationships that move CGE forward. That will help clients into the future, that support the clinicians and the staff that are there. And, you know, her caring for this community in recovery is evident in every day that she's there and the decisions she's making. And so, you know, we couldn't really ask for somebody who's just got the ability to lead an organization like this for the last 20 years, but also that vision for the next 20.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's obviously you've made great strides and you've got a bright future ahead. So I encourage everybody to look up the Center for Great Expectations. And you just touched on it a minute ago. It's all about relationships, right? Relationships with the people you're helping, with the other people who are volunteering, with the other churches and synagogues and organizations. It's all about building relationships for the common good. So thank you for what you're doing for the community and for people. And I'm very grateful to have you on today.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Residents of North and South Carolina bracing for Hurricane Florence, expected to make landfall as a powerful rain-making hurricane on late Thursday or early Friday. In Lenoir County, North Carolina, the emergency services chief is Roger Dale.
Just to let our public know, please, please, please adhere to what we're saying. Don't take this thing lightly because it's a very dangerous situation that we're entering into.
President Trump says the feds, including FEMA, are ready to help.
We're fully prepared, food, medical, everything you can imagine, we are ready.
Pope Francis wants a worldwide summit on clergy sex abuse, summoning bishops today from around the world to the Vatican in February to discuss how to stop clergy from sexually abusing children. And this is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat. The buying toner for the copy machine hat. The sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, and through my longtime affiliation with the Libertarian and Republican parties, I've learned a thing or two about how politics and the economy really work. The writing's on the wall. All signs point to a major shift in investing as we know it. If you haven't started buying precious metals, you need to. Call now to order the Wayne Allyn-Root Precious Metals Investors Package, which includes six different silver coins from major mints around the world for only $99. Call 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-4653.
We told you at the top about Hurricane Florence. Meanwhile, the hurricane watch in the Pacific starting to look a little bit better for Hawaii, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
What was Hurricane Olivia is now a tropical storm, and it's bearing down on the Hawaiian island of Maui.